And recording. Hello and welcome to episode 17 of the 8-Bit Soul podcast.
Don't listen to that fool. This is episode 18. Enjoy.
I'm your host, Armando Testani, and joining me today is Dee Marchioni. Say hello, Dee.
Hello, hello.
Yes, we've got lots going on here. So I think maybe instead of a little chit-chat, because I know how much of a chit-chat type of person you are, we'll just cut to the chase, shall we?
Sure.
Why don't we just get to the meat of it? We'll get to the heart of it. Why don't you kick it off this time? So come on, Dee. What have you been playing lately?
I've only been playing two things, really, and it's Mario Kart 8. The 200cc is pretty awesome, and we've started going back and trying to get gold and 3 stars on everything.
Cool.
And your favorite, I've been playing Destiny, which I'm actually going to talk about this week because the House of Wolves expansion, the second expansion for Destiny, came out on Tuesday.
All right. I'm going to go get a drink and grab something to eat. So you keep talking. I'll be back in like 10 minutes. No, go ahead.
I really think you should try this.
But you're not the only person. I had somebody else this week trying to get me to buy it. And I was like, nope.
You don't even have to buy it. You can play levels 1 through 7 for free on up to 3 characters.
Still no.
It's like a first taste is free.
Yeah. I already got their first taste and yeah, I had to spit
you
it
played
out.
The alpha and that sucked. I didn't like that either. But House of Wolves has been awesome. And for those of you interested, we got new story missions and a new social space called the Vestian Outpost, which so far everyone just refers to as the Outpost. The story is kind of straightforward. You have the imprisoned race called the Forum, the Fallen, that rebelled against the Queen of the Awoken. In response, the Queen's opened up the Vestian Outpost to the Guardians, which we couldn't access before. It's a new social area, much like the tower. And she's offering rewards for hunting down her betrayers. The rewards are new armor, new weapons, new gear. And so far it's been pretty awesome. I played 4 missions with a fellow clan member, NRT84. And I went from a level 26 warlock to a level 30 with just those 4 missions, which probably took maybe 2 hours, maybe less. I got 2 new pieces of armor and a new weapon. Let's see, a few things that this expansion also includes is a new competitive event called Trials of Osiris, which is a 3-on-3 deathmatch for high-level play. I haven't tried this out yet, but I've heard that loot drops are worth it. I want to level up a bit more before I try it. And we also got new multiplayer maps. The competitive multiplayer in Destiny is called the Crucible. That's your standard like zones and deathmatch. And this update brought a new map called Timekeeper. The important thing to keep in mind with Timekeeper is it is a PlayStation exclusive. So we also got a new co-op mode called Prison of the Elders. And Prison of the Elders is Destiny's version of Horde mode, which I talk about Horde mode as if everyone's played it, but it was most notably known for from Gears of War and then adopted by Call of Duty.
And many other games.
And many other games now. But if you're not into competitive multiplayer, basically your team is working together to fend off waves of enemies. This version, there are 3 waves. And There's no checkpoints. You're either successful or you die. In the Twitch stream release that we watched leading up to this release, they played for over an hour and a half and just died over and over. There's four levels of difficulty, but the presenters refused to play on an easier setting for the stream. So this is another one that I also want to level up a little bit more before I attempt it. And then there are no raids in this expansion, which we've discussed before. Raids are six-player levels to, like, a little story to beat. But there is a new strike, which is the one- to three-player smaller version of that called the Shadow Thief. And I also haven't had a chance to play this yet, but it definitely looks awesome. And I think that this expansion was well worth it. It's added a lot of cool things. And I wanted to give a little shout-out to the 8-Bit Soul Destiny clan. So far we have NRT84, Kynde, K-Y-N-D-E, Vitamin Rich, Oprah, and then, of course, I'm also in there as Decoy, D-K-O-I.
Shout out to Oprah. He's a great guy.
But pretty much that's all I've been playing so far. How about you?
Oh, and Oprah's an avid listener. So thank you, Oprah. Not a lot, really. I mean, I know I talk about it all the time, but Pokemon. I completed my Hoenn Pokedex, which Hoenn is the region that takes place in this game, Omega Ruby. So that means I got every Pokemon in that game, all 210. And I'm at 711 on the National Pokedex right now. So that means I'm like 8 away from getting every single one.
Is it?
And I think
from
I'm,
any game, like, is there
from
a possibility?
All game, no. It's like
just DS games?
From getting what they call the living Pokedex, and that means every single one that's available. That means only ones that have been released through events, not games. So events could be like, you know, they were having a contest and people were able to get these Pokemon, or like there was an event at GameStop where they were giving away a code for a Diancie. The only place you can get it was from GameStop. You couldn't get it online unless you traded with somebody, but you couldn't get it in game. So there's about four or five event Pokemons that I'm missing. So, and those are really tough to get because some of them were like freely given out in Japan, but in the US you can only get them for like 2 months at a special thing. And like, you know, maybe 100,000 people got them out of the millions that play it. I'm missing four legendary. All the ones I'm missing are considered legendary, which they're like, in Pokemon terms, they're more difficult to catch. They're not common. They're rare. And they have special capabilities. Other ones don't. Four of the ones I'm missing, I can get. They're from other games. So if I played other games, I could catch them, or if I trade people. So what I've been doing is I traded. Long story short, there's a special ability called Pokerus, which has a special capability. It's rare. I put this Pokerus in and I asked for a particular legendary. I got it. And this is the only legendary that can supposedly breed. So you can breed it. It's called a Fion. So basically I bred like five of them. I put them all into my party. I got them all with that Pokerus virus, which is rare, which is actually people like it because it has certain capabilities. So I got them all with that. So I'm just trading those for the ones that I'm missing. So I got one, and I'm trying to trade for other ones. So
how do you trade? Are you like whoring yourself out on Craigslist or something?
No. In game, they have what they call the global trading system. You have a couple of ways you can trade. You could trade with friends online. say you had the game and you were looking for some, you're like, hey, do you have so-and-so? And be like, yeah, we could trade. You can trade with friends. You can do what they call a wonder trade, which is basically you just throw one into the ether and you get one in return. You know, it's not, it could be one you're like, fuck, I got the same thing in return. Or it could be one that's really common. Or I even got a legendary one once that was pretty rare, which helped me because, I mean, I already had one. So I just used that and turned it around and traded it for one I didn't have. And then they have what's called a global trading system, which is basically I'm taking my Pokemon and I want X Pokemon. So I'm going to deposit it into this global trading system. And then it'll scour, and if anybody comes across it, they're like, oh, I'll take that one, and I'll give you what you want. You get what you want, they get yours. So there's three ways to trade. Or, I mean, you know, you can also go online on forums and all that stuff and be like, hey, these are the ones I'm looking for. Here's what I have to offer. And there's a lot of generous people out there who have a bunch of them. There's, you know, I know one person who has got, like, literally six of each one, you know? And so it'll be like, okay, I'll trade you. But I don't do that. I'm not going to register for a forum just to ask for trades and all that. So I just do it through the game itself. So I am really, really close to finishing it. So, yeah. It was a major achievement when I got the little award thing saying you completed your Hoenn Pokedex. I'm only like four away from completing the National.
Just hoeing around.
Yeah, hoeing around. So, other than that, I did try one other game, and that was Super Mario 3D Land for the 3DS. This was a free game I got from Club Nintendo, and I've only completed three worlds so far. And so it's, you know, just under half the game. I think there's like eight or maybe even 10 levels. I don't know. I forget. But I'm digging it. The 3D looks great on it, and it plays just like Super Mario 3D World did for the Wii U. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that same type of game, so I really like it. I really like the various Mario games that Nintendo makes. So, you know, it was a pretty good chance that I would like this game. Thankfully, I did. You know, as I said, it reminds me a lot of the Wii U version. I thought the game played well. I had no issue with the controls. And I thought it was easy to handle. And like I said, it looks really great too. So I'd highly recommend this game if you have a 3DS.
Are you playing it in 3D? Or do you have
a 3D? I'm playing it in 3D. Nope. I play all the games in 3D.
I find that I never have my 3D turned on anymore on my 3DS.
Oh, I always have it on. I never turn it off. No reason to. I like the 3D effect. And in 3D Land, I think it looks pretty good.
Cool. I haven't had a chance to try that one out yet. But one of our listeners,
doesn't your PSN
name is One That Looks Nice, has been playing it. And yes, that's my girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so... It's a good game. I like it. Other than that, I really haven't been playing much. Been busy. I took the week off of work thinking I could maybe get a few days to catch up and watch things and read and all that other crap. And, oh, God. It's just I'm doing a lot of work around the house, and it's been super busy doing lots of things. And usually when I go to work, I'm in bed at like 1 o'clock, sometimes 1:30 in the morning, you know, even though I'm up at 6. Mm-hmm. I've been going to bed at like 11, 11:15 just because I'm wiped. Just I'm wiped out. You know, I'm up at 6 still, drop the kids off at school or wherever. 8 o'clock comes, I'm starting the housework. Did my whole deck, cleaned that whole thing, scrubbed that fucker down. Oh, man, it looks like night and day. The wood looks brand new. You know, buddy came over, trimmed all the trees, did all that crap. Oh man, wiped me out these past couple of days. So much housework, but it needs to get done. You know, it's springtime, needs to get done. So we did it. So I can't wait to go back to work so I can relax. So I haven't been playing much.
So. Well, we did have a little bit of gaming news. Obviously, we're in that time when E3 announcements are trying to be kept secret.
Yeah, but they've been making like announcements for announcements, lots of those, and it's kind of annoying.
Yeah,
it's like they're blowing their load early. It's like just hold it till E3.
One I wanted to mention was Bloodborne expansion was announced. And that's pretty much all the information we have.
Sony's, just that they announced it?
Yeah, Sony's confirmed that an expansion from Software's Bloodborne survival RPG will be coming, and we'll have more information released later this year.
Okay.
So, yeah. Sounds good. I mean, it's kind of cool to see that they're not going to just do game after game after game like they did last generation, where even though they weren't particularly just sequels, they were considered spiritual successors.
Right.
We had Demon Souls, then Dark Souls, then Dark Souls 2. And then Bloodborne's considered another spiritual successor to those games. But it's nice to see that there's expansions now, because it's the same platform, it's the same general game, it's just you want more of it.
Right.
And then, oddly, Sony announced that you will be able to watch the Sony PlayStation E3 press conference in theaters.
Well, they did that last year.
Did they? I don't remember that one.
No, they did, on a smaller scale.
Okay.
This year they're expanding it seems like.
Yeah, this is one in every state.
Yeah, and for us it starts at like 9 p.m., literally.
Yeah, 8:45 on the East Coast.
Yeah, East Coast.
Which
says 9 to 11:30 is what it says.
Which I'm fine with.
Fuck that.
I wouldn't go to a theater to watch it, even though it is free. I mean, that's kind of cool. Maybe if I was in college or something, or high school. But I'd rather be in my living room watching on my HDTV.
Speaking of watching on your HDTV, we were talking last week about the Microsoft E3 press conference.
Mm-hmm.
How it was going to be streamed on the various Xbox systems and Windows Phone and all that. Well, I get, they confirmed that it's also going to be on Spike TV. So you'll be able to watch it live on Spike.
So if you get Spike, I forgot about that channel.
Yep.
I wonder if I get it.
I still watch it. There's one show on there that I like.
What Ink is Master. It show now?
Ink. One show that it shows is Ink Master. I like that show.
Oh, I used to watch that.
It's that tattoo show. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, you know, I like tattoos. I got a tattoo. Want to get another one, so. Tattoos don't bother me. I like it. Every year they seem to have like some sort of comic book challenge, too. That's last cool. season they did like Wolverine. And everybody had to draw Wolverine. Two seasons ago, I think, Greg Capullo, who draws Batman, was on. And he got to be he was a guest judge and it was a comic book theme, so they all had to draw comic book characters.
That's cool.
It's pretty cool. It's a good show. I like it. But anywho, speaking of comic books, I think there's some comic book news. Not news, but stuff we could talk about, right?
Yep. I did read comic books.
Nice. So did I. I read quite a bit this week. There were a bunch of Secret War titles that came out. Secret Wars. That's it. Not Secret War. Secret Wars titles that came out this week. So there's a lot to talk about on my end. I don't know how many you read, but why don't we start with Planet Hulk? Now, I believe you read this one, right?
I did.
Okay. Now, I like the story, but I don't think you did.
Not really. I thought it was okay. I mean, there were things in it that were cool to see, but I think in general, there was just too much Secret Wars and...
Well, his Secret Wars.
I know, but it's across everything. It's affecting everything. And
well, we knew that was happening.
I guess it isn't what I thought it was going to be. Like, I thought it was going to be the heroes that we already knew fighting against each other, and then like kind of like what was left would be the comic books moving forward.
I'm
but
sure
we have
we'll
this,
see it.
Like, other... I don't know, how would you even describe, like, the cast that's left? Like, I guess Battle World would be an easier place to describe it, but...
It is Battle World.
It's,
so,
I meant Secret Wars Battle War number one.
So quickly discuss what's going on. We're at the point in Secret Wars where it looks like everything is now taking place on Battle World. Basically, Battle World is a place where there are these different worlds that are all under the control of Dr. Doom. He rules it all. He uses the Thor Corps to police each area. You know, these different guys who are like Thor. Planet Hulk is one of these areas. I believe they call it Greenland, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Or Green World. Greenland or Green World?
I think it was Greenland.
Yeah, I think so too. It's ran by the Hulk, and everyone there is a Hulk-type person, whether they're green, red, or gray, which are the colors that the Hulk has been. They all come from an Arizona from an alternate Earth. It was like Earth 24698976 54. It's like this really long number. And on this Earth, there was a gamma bomb that exploded that changed everybody into these Hulks. Now, they went from their Earth to the Battle World. So they're located in Greenland. And they don't really like Doom or the Thor Corps or any of those people. So Doom sent someone on a mission to kill Bruce Banner, the Hulk, the leader. But something happened and he was unable to. So they give Captain America, who goes by Steve Rogers here, they give him a shot. And it's funny because Steve Rogers is a gladiator who fights in the gladiatorial games here. And he has his Tyrannosaurus Rex sidekick. So he fights in Doomstead. And he pretty much attacked Arcade. Now, Arcade's this character who appeared in a lot of X titles, a lot of X-Men books. He was this guy who created these worlds that were dangerous to the mutants, you know, to try to survive through this. And he recorded it all and he would air it. And he was known as Arcade. Now, Steve Rogers attacks Arcade, who's in charge of these gladiatorial games. So his punishment is either death or he goes on this mission for Doom into Greenland against the Hulks. So he accepts it because he's looking for his buddy, Bucky Barnes, who he doesn't know where he is, what happened to him. And it turns out that it's actually Bucky Barnes who was sent on that mission into Greenland. So he goes in there, lots of weird shit happening on, going on. But I liked it. I liked the story and I liked the art.
Oh, the artwork was awesome. And there were some cool scenes in there. I mean, Captain America riding a T-Rex was cool.
Yeah, and then when he throws Arcade in the T-Rex mouth and he jumps in there with him, he's like, I'll have him swallow you. He's like, I'll have him swallow you. You know, where's Bucky? Tell me or he'll swallow you. But, I like these little Battle World areas. So for me, I can't complain. I had no issue with this and I enjoyed it.
See, weirdly,
I'll definitely pick up more.
My issue isn't with the comic itself. It's with – it's stuck in this – unfortunate situation where we know that this is an event and that afterwards all the comics are going to be different. And I keep looking at, like, I don't know who this Captain America is, and I still want like the original Steve Rogers to make it through.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm detoured by like thinking outside of what I'm actually reading, because I don't want Captain America going forward to have a T-Rex.
Why don't you want Cap to have a T-Rex?
Because it's going to be really strange for the movies. That Jurassic World. Well, I mean, we talked about that, though. It could be the Jurassic World, Guardians of the Galaxy, Captain America crossover.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
So maybe it's not a T-Rex. It could be the new dinosaur that they made in Jurassic World.
Maybe. You never know.
I hope not.
So you didn't care for this book too much, did you?
I didn't. I didn't hate it. I thought it was a fun book. I just am slightly concerned about where Secret Wars is going in general.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of one that a book that I really did like, and I can't. Did you read Spider-Verse number one?
I did.
What did you think of that?
I liked it.
Why?
I did. I liked the story. That's why. You know, this is, again, takes place on Battle World. It looks like it's a modern take of New York City, which is different in comparison to, like, Greenland, the Hulk, Planet Hulk, or even some of the places we saw in the second issue of Secret Wars, the main Secret Wars title. So it looked a little different, but this is one of those areas. It's one where, Norman Osborn is the mayor, but he's also still the head of Oscorp. And in this Spider-Verse, we see Gwen Stacy, the British version of Spider-Man, Spider-Girl, and Spider-Man who's from India. And we also get to see Peter Porker, Spider-Ham.
Yep.
Which I thought was awesome when that we get to see him.
The Gwen Stacy is the Spider-Gwen.
Right.
And then her grave is also
Spider-Gwen. There. Gwen Stacy and her dad, right next to her dad, right?
Yep.
Now, none of them remember how they wound up there. And from lots of them, they seem to have this kind of like, they know, they can sense that there are others out there like them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to meet up with them. To them, it's been like they've been there their whole life, but they remember more than that little world that they currently occupy. So they're like, you know, this is all familiar to me, yet I remember something else. I like the story. The art was okay.
I did not like the art.
Sometimes I thought it was better than other times.
True.
I thought some of it kind of had a little bit of a manga feel to it. There were some panels. I thought some of the characters looked like they were drawn by Katsuhiro Otomo, who did like Akira and Domu. Well, the correct pronunciation is Akira, not Akira. It's Kanada, not Kaneda.
Oh, gee, Kaneda. What are we going to do now?
It's Akira. But I thought some of it looked like that. You know, like I said, artwork was okay, wasn't great. But I like the story.
The story is more along the lines of what I was expecting from Secret Wars.
And if I remember correctly, some of these characters were from the old Spider-Verse miniseries that they had going on in the Spider books like 5 months ago or so.
Yeah.
Remember that? And some of them, like that British Captain, British Spider-Man, he couldn't get back to his world, remember? It was destroyed. So they're like, oh, we'll find somewhere, and now he's showing up here.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it's all those people who can get back to their world are popping up here. But I liked it. I really want to see what happens to them. And I'm sure we'll see some more spider guys show up too. But I kind of like the contrast in the different regions within Battle World. We have this modern New York City, you know. But then you go to Planet Hulk and everything's like crappy and, you know, it's a bunch of Hulks running around and lots of gamma radiation and you know, the desert around it's got all these fucked up huge worms and shit. You know, I like the contrast in them, but I like this book. I thought it was pretty good.
So I have a question for you again. So is the Captain America in Planet Hulk in the same situation as the spider people in Spider-Verse? Like, is he misplaced from, like, knows that he's not in a normal situation, or is he a new version?
It's Captain America from a different, I'm assuming from a different reality, not the 616 Earth.
Gotcha.
I'm assuming it's a different from somewhere else.
Because I can't tell if it's like, you know, like an illusion of their mind, and they're like almost like that, like they're put into these situations with false memories or something, or just a mind wipe of some kind. And some, because of their abilities, realize that things are off, where others are just going to continue forward without taking a retrospective.
It could be. It could be. I don't know. I'm sure we'll learn more. I mean, they got...
Yeah, I mean, we're on issue one of all of these.
Yeah, and they've got months to go still. So, literally. I got to ask, what did you think of A-Force? Or did you even read A-Force?
I started reading A-Force and I fell asleep. I didn't get through it.
Oh. I liked it. It seems like it's an all-female Avengers team.
Mm-hmm.
And taking place in probably what's the most, what's a good word? Pleasant place on Battleworld. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a had utopia. The nice, beautiful ocean, beautiful buildings, a whole beautiful city. Everybody seems happy. You know, they're talking about teachers and police. You have all elements of society there. But they seem to be the policing factor of that section of Battleworld. I like that they have G. Willow Wilson as one of the writers on it. So it's nice to see a woman writing a team of women. I thought the artwork was pretty good too, and I actually liked the story. I love seeing like old school Dazzler. I thought she looked great. And then you had the new Captain America, or they just called her America. You had the female Loki. You had the Queen Medusa from Inhumans, Jean Grey Phoenix. You had all these women from various books who are Captain Marvel as well, the one we see now from the Captain Marvel book, that Carol Danvers.
It's like a powerhouse of...
Yeah, it was. I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. I liked seeing all the different women and finally seeing a place in Battleworld that wasn't some desolate, you know, shitty area, I guess you could say. We've had two now. We had the New York and this one. But I'm really intrigued as to where this will go once Secret Wars ends. You know, will the A-Force continue? I mean, I think I'd like to see it continue. Maybe not necessarily with these characters, but an all-woman force would be cool. You know, we had an all-female X team, but I don't think it panned out as well as they had hoped. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I enjoyed this one. I thought it was good. I thought the story was good and the art was good. So I liked it.
Cool. Yeah, it just got too late. I haven't finished that one yet.
You savage. You read anything else?
Yes, Secret Wars Battle World, number one.
I read that too.
I didn't like this one.
Oh.
This got really cartoony for me.
Well, this reminds me of the side titles that Marvel would put out during all of the big events. Like, you know, during all the big ones they had, they always had that like one comic that was telling these side stories. And that's what this one felt like to me. It contained a couple stories. One that I thought was pretty relevant to the main Secret Wars story. It was about the Punisher, who had this spirit of Doctor Strange kind of like attached to him. Yeah.
Because he was bit by a vampire.
Stephen Strange was bit by a vampire and he was going to die because of it. So he kind of took like his spirit and latched onto the Punisher so it would survive. Because the body was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
This allowed Frank Castle or the Punisher to perform magic. And it was kind of cool seeing him dressed as the Punisher, but with Doctor Strange's cape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought that was pretty cool. I like that. Now, the reason I find this interesting is because Stephen Strange in Secret Wars is the sheriff of Battleworld.
Is he?
Yeah. He's the sheriff. So, who is that sheriff? Could it be that Doctor Strange lost his magic powers and the Stephen Strange we see in the story is just a powerless Strange? No magic? I don't know. Is he an imposter? I don't know. I mean, hopefully we find out soon. I'd like to see what's going on with that. But I liked it. I liked the first story. I thought the art was good for the story they were telling. The second story was kind of dumb.
The second story is where they lost me. I didn't mind the
It was like, a little Wolverine funny.
Versus Punisher.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little funny, to be honest.
I assume it was supposed to be funny.
You got a bunch of MODOKs going around, some good, some bad. They had like the Spider-Man version MODOK and the little girl and you know, the one who can walk, who's not just with those tiny little legs and tiny arms and huge head. I laughed. So, you know, again, that one I didn't take seriously. Maybe that was the comedic relief. I don't know. But Secret War is in full effect now. Full effect. And for me, it's provided some entertaining books so far. And I'm digging it. So I'm good with it. I know you have a little bit of a different opinion, but who gives a shit about it?
Actually, so there is something I want to talk about with that. So we both didn't like Convergence, and right. I'm kind of middling on Secret Wars, but you're pretty into Secret Wars. So
yep.
I have a question of what the difference is between Convergence and Secret Wars and why Secret Wars is standing out more to you. So I just want to go over a little bit for our listeners. But so both Convergence and Secret Wars seem like they're trying to attempt the same thing. Like with Convergence, we have Telos, which is a mechanical world located outside time and space where Brainiac collected, I think it's 50 cities in domes. And when he opens the domes, the inhabitants fight. All those cities are from their different universes or alternate timelines. Mm-hmm. Where in Secret Wars, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, we have Battle World, which is a world existing outside of time and space. And all the other Earths have been destroyed, and a handful of heroes from 616 and 1301 Earths find themselves on Battle World. And Battle World is either inhabited by alternate versions of Marvel heroes,
yeah,
or it's mined or inhabited by the 616 and the 1301 heroes under some kind of memory loss. So what would you say the difference is between the two, and why do you gravitate towards Secret Wars?
Because I'm a Marvel fanboy.
Do you think it's that simple? Just
no,
because
no,
you know, not these characters?
It's not. I didn't like the stories I was reading in Convergence. I didn't like from issue one or zero, I didn't like the start of it. I didn't see a reason as to why it was happening. Just because Brainiac decided to get a bunch of cities, you know? What was his reason behind it? What was the reason for the story itself? Secret Wars is aligning the Marvel Universe into one universe. So we're not going to have an Ultimates line anymore. They're not going to run a story wherever. It's aligning everything into one universe. It has an endpoint. I don't know what Convergence's endpoint is. You know,
I thought Convergence had the same endpoint, that they were redoing the line again, like a new 52.
No, because so many books aren't going to be new. They're just going to start up again. Like Batman. You know, it starts up again with Bruce Wayne being dead and a new Batman and all that crap. So what was the impact of Convergence on Batman? Nothing. But here, Captain Marvel, the book ends, Then we get Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps. Now, is that taking place on Battle World or post-Battle World? I don't know. I'm sure we'll find out. But I just like the stories that are being told better. Simple as that.
Okay. It just stuck out to me as I was reading Battle Worlds, and I was like, I wonder what it is that makes the difference.
Right.
Because they are, you know, if you take a step back, they are somewhat similar.
Mm-hmm. They are a little, but I mean, Convergence could have a cool concept. I didn't like its execution. And that's what it comes down to. Just didn't like it.
Yeah, there was too much monologuing from Brainiac.
Yeah.
For me.
Mm-hmm. So that's that.
Okay. Did you read anything else?
I read other stuff. I don't know if we really want to talk it. Like, I read Ms. Marvel.
So did I. I love Ms. Marvel.
I read the names. I finished up the names. I got caught up in a bunch of stuff that I was a few issues behind. Mm-hmm. Black Widow, all that stuff. So I got caught up. Nothing really new. But, yeah.
We had some news about Jupiter's Legacy becoming a movie. I think we're only on issue 2.
We're on issue 2 of Jupiter's Circle.
Oh.
Jupiter's Legacy already had its first.
Was the first one.
Right? Yeah. Yep. It doesn't surprise me. I think Mark Millar is trying to do that with all his new comics. I think he creates them so he can get them made into movies.
It is not a bad plan, and it is working better for him than anyone else I know. But
Yeah. Unless you're Marvel. But yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But you have... So it's Mark Millar, the creator of Kick-Ass, Kingsman, The Secret Service, Wanted. Anything else that made it to a movie from comic book?
I don't think so.
I can think of off the top of my head. But
I love the comic Wanted movie, not so much.
Same.
Kingsman, Secret Service, I actually have it now.
Yeah. Did you watch it yet?
No, not yet.
It was pretty good that I saw in the movies.
Yeah, I remember we talked about it. Mm-hmm. Tried watching Ex Machina. I fell asleep. I fell asleep about half hour in.
That's interesting, because I'd only heard good things about it until you...
I heard great things about it, too, but I fell asleep. Maybe I'll give it another shot.
Oh, and another title not to confuse Jupiter's Legacy with is Jupiter's Ascending.
Yes.
It doesn't have anything to do with that Channing Tatum movie.
Oh, God, Channing Tatum.
But this movie is also a long way off. All we know is that a producer has picked it up. They're still looking for writers.
Huh. Surprised Millar's not going to write it himself. But
we do have big news for awards. The Hugo Awards.
Oh, nice.
Which, for those that don't know, Hugo Awards are presented annually since 1955. They're science fiction's most prestigious awards. The Hugo Awards are voted on by members of the World Science Fiction Convention, which is also responsible for administering them.
Cool.
And the most notable ones that we would be interested in are... Best Graphic Story, which the reason I'm mentioning this is Ms. Marvel, Volume 1, No Normal, written by G. Willow Wilson, illustrated by Adrian Alfana and Jake Wyatt, which is my favorite. And if you haven't read it, go read it. Do you know what Rat Queens is?
I've heard of it. I've never read it.
I missed this one, but Rat Queens Volume 1, Sass and Sorcery was another mention. Saga Volume 3, which Saga's a great story.
I'm so far behind on that. I think I'm 10 issues behind.
I'm probably the same.
Yeah.
Sex Criminals Volume 1, which is good a recommendation book. From you in a previous podcast.
Good book. I like that one.
The Zombie Nation, book number 2, Reduce, Reuse, Reanimate. I don't know that one.
I never read it.
Then Best Dramatic Presentation, Long Form. We have Captain America, Winter Soldier, which both you and I love. Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, you mean movie?
Best Dramatic Presentation, Long Form. Yeah, movie.
Okay. Yeah, Winter Soldier was great.
Yep. Edge of Tomorrow, Guardians of the Galaxy, which is one of my favorites.
Another great movie.
Interstellar, I still haven't seen.
I know, neither have I.
And then The Lego Movie.
Huh.
So that was a good movie. You actually have our top 3 movies of last year, Captain America, Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, and The Lego Movie, are all on this list.
Good movie. Good choices.
Yep. And then Best Dramatic Presentation Short Form, you have Doctor Who, the episode called Listen, which I don't watch Doctor Who enough. I just started at the newest Doctor because people keep telling me I have to watch it, but I haven't gotten into it. The Flash Pilot.
Hmm.
Game of Thrones, The Mountain and the Viper.
Ah, good episode.
Which was amazing. Grimm, Once We Were Gods.
I like that show.
I like that show, but I'm only in the first season.
We just watched the season finale of that tonight. We had it recorded. Good show.
And then Orphan Black, by means which have never yet been tried.
You ever watch that show?
I haven't. I got the comic book in a loot crate. First season?
Yeah. We watched the first season and like the first episode of the second season, and then I couldn't keep up with it. I was just like, eh. I didn't miss this show. Do you know when a show comes back and you're like, oh man, I didn't even miss this show. Do I want to watch it anymore?
Yep.
That's how I felt. And then after the first issue, I was kind of like, nope, I could care less if I watch this. So I didn't. Speaking of Game of Thrones, did you watch last week's? Yeah.
And by last week, we mean season 5, episode 6, Unbowed, Unbent, Unbroken.
What was that title again?
Unbowed, Unbent, Unbroken.
Unbroken. Yeah. I thought that this may have been one of the weaker episodes of this season.
No. I could agree with that, but only because this season has been so good on the political ties that it was almost a little light on the depth of the story.
Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I enjoyed it. But for me, the Dorne scenes just did not work. You know, the fight scene was meh. And it was over way too quickly, I thought. I'm just not liking what's going on in Dorne. I think there needs to be more to that story. I don't like how it's progressed so far.
Dorne hasn't been explored in general as, like, from a visual standpoint. Like, we know what King's Landing looks like, but Dorne almost feels like sets on a play.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I thought the stuff in Winterfell was excellent, despite the outrage on the internet over the final scene.
There was outrage?
Oh, God,
you listened to too much outrage.
There was a ton. I saw people talking about a ton of it online. There's a lot of people complaining about the rape scene, or rather what we perceive to be as rape.
I mean, you know, period piece-wise, I don't know if that would be rape.
You know, Sansa and Ramsay are married, so for them in that particular world, I mean, I hate to say it, but that wasn't rape. Our standards, that's rape.
Yeah.
But, you know, based on everything we know of the show and when it's supposed to take place and the place, you know, it's a husband consummating the marriage with his wife on the wedding night.
Just her legal obligation.
Right. That's right. It's her legal obligation.
And actually, like, I don't know if we have it in Game of Thrones, but in real life we had where the king's head, what is it? Prima.
You're talking about prima nocta?
Yeah, that's a myth. I mean,
it's a myth.
Is it?
Yeah.
I know I've seen it in other
fantasy stories. It's been in movies. Like, it was in, like, the famous one was Braveheart.
Right.
But for all accounts, they can't find any truth to it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Because that's a pretty sick practice.
Right. Now.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand people finding, considering that to be rape, because by our standards now, it would be. But in this context of the story, I don't think it was uncalled for.
Right.
I think it. And you know, I mean, does she literally have to stay a virgin forever throughout this story for them to be happy? No, or because this isn't a world of, like, happily ever after.
Right. I mean, I even read one person called it torture porn.
Did they watch it?
Because she was screaming.
But what, didn't it already
cut? Never mind the fact black. You don't see anything. Yeah. You just see him, like, throw her over the bed. But you heard her cries, and you saw Theon's reaction to it. Now, I didn't see that as torture porn.
Theon was crying.
Right. I didn't find the writers to be scumbags, like some of them called them. I don't think it was controversial, but that's just me. I saw the scene as something that will not only haunt Sansa, but it'll make her more determined to get rid of Ramsay.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I think it also acts as the catalyst for Reek or Theon or whatever you want to call him to do something about what's happened to him. Now, granted, I mean, if he wanted redemption from Sansa, he probably should have done something then.
Yeah.
But in his eyes, I think he sees what he's about to do if he does something for him as redemption. I think for Sansa, though, it's something that's too little too late. So, yeah. Not a great episode, but definitely not a bad one. You know, it was just kind of, eh. You know, some good scenes, some scenes I was just, eh, whatever. But I still love the show, and we've only got, what, 4 episodes left? 7, 8, 9, 10. That's all that's left, so. That's, you know, sad. By episode 9, they'll have something big happen, because that's usually when it happens, episode 9. So.
And speaking of the end of a show, we saw The Flash, season 1, episode 22, Fast Enough, the season finale.
Yep.
What'd you think of this?
I thought it was a doozy. There was lots going on in this episode. I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. The Flash decides to go back in time to save his mother. Wells wants him to go back in time because that'll send Wells home. Wells helps him go back in time. Doesn't quite work out the way he wanted it to. Eddie kills himself, thinking if I kill myself, Eobard Thawne will never be born. And of course, Barry's selfishness of going back in time has caused a wormhole. And this wormhole is starting to fuck up Central City. So, yeah, that's a basic summary. Here are my thoughts. I loved all the little Easter eggs. From Jay Garrick's helmet. Yeah. From Jay Garrick's helmet coming out of the wormhole at the end there.
Mm-hmm.
His helmet was that old Doughboy helmet. The Doughboys are what they called the American soldiers in World War I. So remember those old helmets was, you know, with the flat brim. So we got to see the Doughboy helmet with the wings on it. And Jay Garrick was the original Flash. Back when it was created, what, in the 30s or 40s. That was the helmet for the original Flash and what he used to wear. We also got a quick glimpse of Caitlin Snow as Killer Frost. I think we got two shots of her as Killer Frost. So that looked pretty cool too. And, you know, you also saw clips from Legends of Tomorrow, the trailer that was already put out. Mm-hmm. You saw some stuff from there. There's the hint about Cisco becoming Vibe. So there was a lot of stuff. My biggest question, well, I have two actually. But one of them is, why was everyone so eager to let Barry go back into the past and change history? You know,
no idea.
That means all of their hidden history. That means all of the history they have would have been changed as well.
Maybe they just don't like Barry.
Maybe they were all willing to give up their lives so Barry could save his mother. So I don't know. I'm not buying it. You know, oh yeah, I'll give it up so you can go save your mother. And now I will not cease to exist. This particular version of me will cease to exist. I'm not buying that. And I mean, are they saying that their lives are so bad that they didn't want to live them anymore? You know? Also, my other gripe was with Eddie killing himself and thus wiping out Eobard Thawne. Oh, who's the Reverse Flash? Doesn't that mean that Dr. Wells is still alive and himself as Dr. Wells? There was never the car accident that killed his wife and put him in a wheelchair either.
See, that is the point where it was annoying me while watching it, where originally I feel like we had been explained that time worked in the same way as Back to the Future, where you have a timeline. Once it's altered, it creates an alternate timeline. And those two times run in parallel.
Right.
So you don't disappear. It's just the timeline changes, and that timeline, the original, continues, but so does this other one in parallel.
Right.
Which gets rid of that whole loop problem of what you were just explaining. Like, if Eobard Thawne was never born because Eddie shot himself, then nothing happened, and that whole scenario couldn't have happened.
Right.
But if it's just you keep drawing, like, dog legs off of things, then all of these things are continuing at once.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it got really messy. And I was a little annoyed that we didn't get to see the Flashpoint Paradox, where it teaches him why time travel is dangerous.
Right. I mean, there was that little scene where he's going to save his mom, but Future Flash was like, no, stop, don't.
And yeah, we also had the half of Firestorm. The doctor explaining ripple effect.
Right.
But I was still I know it would be so fucking expensive to do, but I was still kind of hoping to see Flashpoint Paradox.
Yeah. Well, next season they did say that they're going to explore multiple timelines and realities. So maybe we'll see one where he saved his mother, or we'll see one where what was that episode where he went back in time and he changed it? Where Cisco dies. Yeah. Maybe we'll see that. Who knows? But I thought it was good. Done for the season. Comes back in the fall, so.
Yep. I loved the Easter eggs.
Oh, there was a ton. There was a ton. You just gotta pause the scene where the wormhole is open and it's sucking stuff in, because not just sucking stuff in, but when he's running.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see all of the different little Easter eggs. You can see Caitlin Snow as Killer Frost, stuff like that. So
cool.
But there was a new show I wanted to talk about a little bit, actually. I don't know if you watched it or not.
I did not see it, but I saw it on your list of things you've been watching.
Yeah. It's a 10-episode event, as they're calling it, and it's on Fox. It's called Wayward Pines. It's a show featuring, I think, a lot of famous actors, really. It's got Matt Dillon. He's a U.S. Secret Service agent that goes searching for two missing Secret Service agents in this Idaho town. So he winds up in a car accident and finds himself in this small town called Wayward Pines. Now, right from the get-go, it's a strange show, but in a good way. M. Night Shyamalan is a executive producer, and he also directed it. And it really feels like one of his better movies, you know, from his early days. It's got that, you know, that definite strange vibe to it. Cast includes Carlo Gugino, Toby Jones, Reed Diamond, Juliette Lewis, Melissa Leo, Terrence Howard. So it's got a great cast. Really does. For me, the show, the town, I mean, it seems like it's an experiment on people. Because there's a scene where he goes into this bar. You know, he needs to get his personal items from the sheriff's office because he left the hospital. They're not open, so he goes to this bar. He's hungry. He orders a burger. He gets a drink. He talks to the girl, the bartender, and she kind of leads him to this house where one of the FBI agents he was looking for is in the house dead and looks like he was tortured. But the body looks pretty decomposed, like it's been there for a while. So he goes back to the bar the next day, and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. There's no female bartender here. It's just me and one other guy. So you couldn't have been last night. So you don't know if his memory's fucking with him or the work is messing with him and just being like, nope, can't do it. But I don't know.
This one seems interesting. I saw the commercial for it. Mm-hmm. It seemed like he couldn't leave the town.
No, and that's one of the things. You know, the town, I mean, it seems like it's an experiment, like I mentioned. You know, Dylan meets up with one of the other missing agents who's played by Carla Gugino. And, you know, he says that he's been looking for her, and she looks a little older than when he last saw her. And she's like, well, that's what 12 years does to you. And he's like, 12 years? He's like, no, I saw you 5 weeks ago. Not 12 years ago. And that female bartender, you know, she says to him that she went there in 1999 trying to sell the school system there software for Y2K. And she's like, you know, and next week is my 1 year anniversary here because it'll be a year that I've been here, 2000. He's like, it's not 2000. You know, it's 2014 because I guess that's when they filmed it. Mm-hmm. So all these people seem to be displaced over time as well. So, you know, there's lots of little weird things going on. But both the wife and I, we watched it and, you know, we want to see where it goes. It's only 10 episodes, so it's not like it's going to be a whole season wasted, you know, if it doesn't turn out that great. And with almost all of our shows ending anyway, it's, you know, it's a good time to watch something different. I recommend it if you can catch it. The second episode airs tonight. Actually, it's probably on, it was on at 9 o'clock, tonight being Thursday when we normally tape it. So that'll be episode 2. So by the time this show goes up, there will have been 2 episodes already. I'm sure you could watch it on one of the various Fox apps as well for the 360, Xbox One. I don't know if PlayStation has one, but, my TV has one too. So, you know, my Apple TV also has one. So there's lots of places you can watch it. And most of the time the episode's free too. So I'd give it a shot. Wayward Pines. It's pretty good.
I'll check it out. Yep. Would you say it's more like, is it more like Lost or more like an expanded version of a Twilight Zone episode?
Twilight Zone episode.
Cool. That's what I was hoping you'd say.
Yep. Definitely more Twilight Zone. So that's what I've been watching.
Cool.
I really don't have much to talk about, like, news-wise or anything. Hopefully next week I could talk more about Ex Machina instead of just saying I fell asleep.
we'll have see. Two little
busy weekend coming up.
We have two little pieces of news for movie-related stuff, which is Robert Kirkman has been signed on as one of the writers for the Transformers Expanded Cinematic Universe.
That's crazy.
Along with four other comic book artists.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they're planning a lot more movies for the Transformers. I think they might have looked at the DC and the Marvel announcements and are like, we want to do that. But I don't think the franchise is geared towards it.
No, I don't think so. I only saw the first two. I haven't seen the last two. Once Megan Fox is out, it's like, there goes the eye candy.
I think I saw the first three. Is there a fourth one? There must be, because it says the fifth one's coming out. Yeah, I know. It feels like the same movie over and over. So, I'm not too interested in it. But someone who is able to save franchises, The Rock, got his Hollywood star, which I had no idea that was still a thing.
I don't care.
I like his movies, and he also has like the greatest track record for bringing dead movie franchises back to life.
Like Doom?
No, because that was an original. But his version, the Scorpion King where he showed up was one of the highest selling of that franchise. Fast and the Furious. He brought way more views to that movie franchise. He's done it a bunch of times. I saw an article about it talking about how he is worth more than most actors for running franchises and is like the guy to go to revive a dying brand.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
And, let's see. I have one topic I just wanted to discuss with you. The, other day, or probably yesterday, must have been yesterday, I was watching a show called Best Bars in America.
I've heard of it. It's on Esquire.
Yeah. It was pretty good. And then it was followed by Brew Dogs.
Loved that show.
It was a really good show. Brew Dogs is better than Best Bars.
Yeah. I watched the first two episodes, the first two seasons of Brew Dogs, and I have yet to watch season three. I'm really slacking. I really need to watch season three.
It's entertaining. I like it.
Yeah, I like it. For those that don't know, it's about these two guys who own James Dickey and I forgot the other guy's name. These two guys who started a beer company, a brewing company in Scotland. And they're known for doing unique brews. You know, they brewed one beer at the bottom of the North Sea. And what Brew Dogs is they come to the U.S. and they go to various cities. And they will brew a different beer in each city, but they'll brew it. It'll be like unique to that particular city. You know, they were in San Francisco and they set up this thing that collected the moisture from all of the fog and at the bay, you know, near the Golden Gate Bridge. And they turned all of that moisture into water they used to brew the beer. And then they would get like lots of different ingredients from local people as well, or local ingredients. And that's every episode. They'll go to like a different state, different city, and see a way to brew beer in that particular city that's unique to that area. And I thought it was pretty cool. I liked it. I like that show. I need to watch season three though.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy that show. And so basically I watched these two shows, which have a lot of personality and about a single topic. And so I wanted to watch something else kind of in the same milieu. And I ended up putting Anthony Bourdain's Layover on.
That's a good show too.
Yeah. I pretty much love anything Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah. I still watch his show now. Oh my God, what's this show called now? No Reservations is when he was on TLC.
No Boundaries? Or it's the one that's not as food based. It's more travel.
I think it still has a lot of food based stuff in it.
It does, but I mean, when he went to Myanmar, he talked more about the political situation.
Right. Right. Oh God, what's it called? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Anyways. Yeah.
But anyways, basically what I was thinking of is we've been trying to come up with a more unique standpoint for 8-Bit Soul itself, as far as the website goes. And I've always wanted to do content that's more evergreen, so it's not current events, it's not reviews, it's more related to our own experiences, our own voice, and something that would be just as searchable in a year as it is right now. And I was thinking that if we could create articles that are almost a version of an Anthony Bourdain, like No Reservations show.
Parts Unknown.
Oh, Parts Unknown. That was it. Yep.
That's his show now.
Gotcha.
It's on CNN.
Which is a great show. He goes to places that, I mean, most Americans wouldn't even travel to out of fear. And he explains the culture and explains through his own terms. He always starts with food, but he shows the political and sociological issues that people are dealing with in those areas, from South Africa to the Middle East and even parts of Southern Asia. It's a great show, but the thing that Anthony Bourdain does really well is he talks about a topic and gives you these history and sidebar and all these pieces that give you a broader scope of what he's trying to portray. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking if we could think of create a way of or some kind of almost template base to talk about topics that we enjoy, but to give history and alternative examples. Like one of the things I like on The Layover is he goes to a specific place, shows you what they're doing, and that is or what he's doing.
Right. Basically it's 24 hours in one town.
Yep. But he gives you four other alternatives of what you could be doing at that exact moment other than what he's doing then.
Right.
Because he likes to go to really weird sex museums and torture museums and shit. He's like, or you could go to this place that's happy.
Right.
But I was thinking if we could start creating articles that are kind of like that, where it's talk about, say, if you were going to buy an NES right now, what would the experience be like? What were the greatest games to have? Talk about things like why you had to blow on the cartridge and like what the experience is like now compared to like using a Wii U. Mm-hmm. And the things that are more interesting and almost part of a culture rather than, well, this game had a 3 for graphics, but the storyline was a 2. It's multiplayer, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't want to waste our time regurgitating stuff that you can get all over the place. Also, it's you and me, so we're never going to be able to keep up with an outlet that has like a staff of 10 people who it's their job.
Nothing but animals. Yeah. No, so, I mean, that's a cool idea.
What do you think of that, like, angle to take? And if any of our listeners have any opinions on what they would like to see, we'd be interested to hear that.
I think it's cool. I think you could sprinkle that in with other stuff. I mean, we've got some stuff up there right now, like how to, you know, make your own home theater PC out of an old Mac.
Right. And I still want to keep things like how-tos, 101s, things like that, but I want I was wondering for expanding to other avenues where maybe it's a little more on the personality standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds good. Sounds like a good idea.
Okay. I'm going to work up a few and send them your way to see kind of what you think.
Sure. I'm sure the listeners are just dying in anticipation. So
you just have no faith.
No. I have faith. Because you got to have faith, the faith.
Some people like to know behind the scenes stuff.
Sure. No, I think that's cool. You know, see what they have to say too. Hopefully they let us know. They have some comments.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be nice.
So I think that's a good place to end it. Unless it is. There's something else.
Nope.
So I think we're done. We're good. Thank you for listening. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. But before we go, let's plug some of those sites, especially the one he was just talking about. Our website, 8bitsoul.com. You can find us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at 8bytes. That's 8bites. Mine is Juventus, JUVENTUZ, and D's is Marchione, MARCHIONE. Now you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram at 8bit_soul, and check out our YouTube page, and don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. And maybe in the future we'll be on Spotify too, because I just heard that they're going to offer podcasts on Spotify. So we'll see. But alrighty, thanks everyone. We will see you next time. So say goodbye, D.
Peace.
Bye.